my God, I can't believe it, Bobby. Wow. Steve Nash is in the house. Welcome to BS with welcome to, I can't say my title.
That's right.
Welcome to BS with No SB. It's hot, I'm pumped. I think I just come here, I walk 30 minutes to come back home.
Griffintown, right?
From Griffintown. Yeah. And after that, I'm going to the Grenouille.
Yes.
It's on sale
here.
Yeah, from Griffintown.
You're going to be early.
No, no, from Griffintown.
Okay.
You go back home, eat, and I go back, so it's 1 hour walk. So it's 2 hours, so it's 3 hours a day. So it's why I always sweat. Plus the excitement of my new project. And it's fun because you have a great story.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where you want to start? First, you want a bowl of water.
Oh, I thank you. I'm good. I'll drink this throughout.
Because you disappear in the world of comedy.
Yes, I did. Let me just get you over
Thanks,
here.
Thanks, Bobby.
Okay, so yeah, I took a bit of a break.
How long?
2 years.
2 years, no comedy, nothing.
Nothing.
No.
I was doing TV work.
And, yeah, he's an actor, guys. We're going to talk about that. You're an actor?
Yes, I am.
So why you left like
I was joking?
Because you're an actor.
It's just, yeah, it's all part of the...
Oh, do you think you're an imposter?
No, I'm not an imposter.
Okay, so you're an actor.
Yes.
So you laugh because how I said it? Or
no, I just laughed because I laughed. That's no, nothing to do
no,
with it.
No, arrière-pensée.
No, point.
Why? What is arrière-pensée in English?
No backstory, no...
like, why is this...
No, I wasn't thinking something else.
No?
No.
Just laugh.
Just laugh.
So if we laugh for nothing, you know.
That's it. It's all part of the show.
Don't be susceptible. So you act, but not comedy, it's drama you did.
Yeah, well, it's whatever I would get on TV. So I was 6 seasons on a show called Unity NF, and I had a supporting role on that. And I would do about 4 or 5 episodes a season.
Okay.
And then while that was going on, I got cast in a Walt Disney film called Bad Hair Day.
No way.
Yeah, so I had a supporting role in that.
No way.
Yeah. And
I need to rent that.
Well, you can see it on TV. It was a made-for-TV movie for Walt Disney.
Okay.
And I did an episode of Being Human. I did several episodes of Fatal Vows.
So you have a great agent.
Yeah. Well, it's starting to make money now. It took me... she'll tell you the same thing. It took me 11 years to get my first acting credit. So it was 11 years of going to the same casting houses. And it was the old, don't call us, we'll call you. It was like, you know, then after a while, it's just like, okay, well, it's a gig. It's a role. So it's like, okay.
Oh, man, it's so fun you say that because I just got an agent 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And nobody explain you how it's work.
No, it doesn't.
The audition... it's like the Grumpies.
Yep.
You go bomb.
Yep.
And if you get the gig, is the reward. You know, I didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
That no matter what you do in the audition, they already know if they want you or not.
Absolutely.
The foot you put in the.
Well, you wanna be seen.
Yeah.
They want to like you, so I mean
you don't have to take that personally. It's not because you were not good, but when you took the 10 bits,
yes,
well, that's not you.
That's right. Well, just to give you
know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. But just to give you a side story, like when I was taking my acting classes with Tom Todorov, he would tell us a story about not taking things personally when we go to audition. So there was a friend of his who went in for an audition and he nailed the role, and the casting director said, you know what? You're perfect for this part, but you know what? You remind me too much of my ex-husband, so I can't cast you for this. So you want us to not take things personally.
Wow,
but
this
it's
is
like,
personal.
Right, but at the same time, it's like it had nothing to do with us.
Exactly.
So there's millions of reasons outside of this audition why it wasn't you or me, and that's it. We just have to keep going. We have
to keep going
forward. So
tell me if it's just me or it's in general every... actor or people who do an audition. Every time I do an audition, the last audition I did, it was not the McMuffin. It was at Tim Horton, the new sausage. And my
Beyond
phrase
Meat? Was it the Beyond Meat one?
No. It was Tim Horton. Beyond Meat is A&W.
Yeah, but they have one that's out for breakfast, and it's not. It's flavored, but it's all veggie.
I think it was the new crust or the new bread.
Okay. the Tim Matin or whatever.
So, yeah, and my phrase is, hey, that is solid, okay? And after I get everybody laugh and they say thank you so much, I did not get the car, but I went in my car and I practiced again. That was solid, you know. Look, honey, is it good? Maybe it's too late. I already did it. It's too late. No matter if I'm better,
yeah.
Do you do that?
You know, it happens sometimes.
You know what I mean? Like, why I do that?
I would
continue to pretend I'm going to have another chance.
Well, it's still in your system, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
If I go to an audition,
it's intense.
Of course it's intense.
Because for people who don't know, it's very important. It's a small room. No air conditioner, no window.
Yes.
It's four people who not don't care, but don't show you they care too.
Yes.
It's neutral. It's like say your name on the camera. My name is Sebastian Borgo. Okay. So it's a commercial about a fridge and the heat. So you're gonna take the lasagna, okay, and you're gonna put the lasagna here.
Yep.
So you do that, and they say, can you do that like less happy? Because me, I'm too much happy, so I'm not.
I get that note too,
you know?
Go on, yeah.
And you feel like a so stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And you go, and I remember another, you're going to talk, don't worry, because I
booked correctly,
you remind me, so another girl who do a lot of auditions said, every time you finish an audition, go buy you a gift. Buy you a gift.
Yes.
To reward you.
That's a good idea.
You know? Because it's you feel so shit. And you are a pro of shit.
That's right.
Because me, he called me only part-time. But it's your job. You know what I mean? You focus for the last 11 years, full-time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my perception, but on Facebook, everywhere, you always show your acting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just start to come back in comedy.
Yeah.
Put the Sugar Sammy, me.
Yeah, of course.
You know, because you're back, you know.
Yeah.
But why did you decide to go in the acting?
Oh, well, it was when I was a kid, I was always fascinated by this. It was always just this dream of, but I always was a kid that wanted to be the center of attention. I always wanted the spotlight. So, what got
same
it for
thing,
me?
You know, it's like you talk about me.
Yeah. what got it for me was when I was 10 years old, in between the end of the school day and hockey practice, because I played hockey too.
Okay.
I would listen to records of Bill Cosby.
Whoa.
And I would just listen to them over and over and over again.
Wow.
And I, at 10 years old, I said to myself, I can get paid to stand in front of an audience and make people laugh, or I can be in front of a camera and be on TV or the movies. And it was just something that always stayed with me. So as I was growing up, being an athlete and wanting to pursue a career as a professional hockey player, that was always in the back of my mind. It's like, well, you know, what is going to be the plan B? So the plan A was to become an NHL player.
Okay, and really?
Yeah, yeah.
So where did you go? Where's the far you get?
For me, it was a little bit of a rocky road. I played up until, say, midget AAA.
Okay.
And then...
did you stop by injury?
I stopped by injury. I dislocated this shoulder. I was also playing football at the time.
Oh, my God.
So I continued playing football up until semi-pro, I guess, junior AA. And then after that, there really was no other option. There was no desire to play anymore. It was just... My calling was elsewhere, so at the
it was not about because of comedy.
No, it wasn't because of comedy.
So who bring the because it was a vanilla. It was always vanilla. Is it vanilla?
In English?
No. The it was not a CD.
Vinyl. Yes, a vinyl.
So why you have a vinyl of Bill Cosby at your home?
Because this
is
was
it the, your father?
No, because this was in the 1990s, and it was 93. So the year that the Canadians won the Stanley Cup. You know, that was the year. Yeah, the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
That was it. So I was listening to records.
So it was a CD.
I had the old school, like, you know, those headphones that you got a plane in with.
Yeah.
That's what I would wear. And I would listen to that so that I wouldn't disturb my parents. And for hours, I would just be laughing by myself.
You bought that?
You know, my parents already had it.
Your parents listened to Bill Cosby?
Yeah. So that's, you know, how I got started. And then I started to see people like Robin Williams and Jim Carrey and Eddie Murphy. And I was like, man, these guys are really good at what they're doing.
Yeah, because
it'd be fun for me.
Exactly, because At the time, maybe, I don't know if it's still like that, but if you're a comedian in general, you're going to be a good actor.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Most of the time, yes.
You know?
Some of them, they just want to do stage work, and some will stop doing stand-up, and they'll go and they'll do TV, because I think that's sort of what Jim Carrey did. Jim Carrey stopped doing stand-up.
Yes.
He went and did, on his career, TV. Yeah. And Robin Williams would come back periodically, but he mostly did, you know, movies and stuff. And
exactly.
It's the same thing. I think Russell Peters did it a bit too, and then he sort of realized, but I think he's a different character. But
so I think you refused to be in Hangover.
Yeah.
I read somewhere that the guy in the, is it the Asian guy?
Oh, the Asian, yes.
Was supposed to be Russell.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's true. Maybe, you know, you can wrote that liar, or yes, he's right. So, but I think I heard that because I focus on Russell Peter in the time, you know, because he was very, it's a great story, the story of Russell Peter, you know. So you, Bill Cosby, you enjoy, but you have a hockey, football, and because of injury, you decide to stop.
Yeah.
So what was next for you?
So at the time I was studying theater performance at Concordia.
Really?
Yeah.
So you don't take Ritalin?
No, I don't take Ritalin.
Because you will never do everything. So no. You always do, you always move, eh? Right?
Yeah, well, I mean.
You never stop.
No, never. It was just.
Always tack, tack, tack. All,
yeah.
It's fun. And are you a rich family?
My parents were.
Because hockey is expensive.
Upper middle
very
class.
Very expensive.
And I had the chance, I mean, by the time that I was towards the end of my hockey career, I was playing for Loyola, so it was already included sort of in the fee for the private school to play as many whatever sports that I wanted to play. So I was the athlete, so I was playing soccer at first, then hockey, and then I did track and field.
No baseball?
No baseball. We didn't have baseball at the time, yeah. But it wasn't of interest to me. I loved the sport, I loved watching the sport, but they didn't have it as an option
exactly.
At the
school. No, you're right.
Then it was sort of like, you know, I let go of soccer because I much preferred hitting people legally while I was in school.
I played one season at the soccer season, never touched the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think about that. I think one time I had the chance to kick the ball, I swing in the air.
Yeah.
Like I didn't. So what's that for me?
Yeah.
Number seven. Yes.
There you go. Ronaldo.
Oh yeah. Continue. I just want to see if everything's working.
So
wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So I wanted to hit people legally while I was in high
really?
School.
Really? It was you have a rage at the time?
Well, it wasn't
you
just
have
rage.
Brother, sister?
I have a younger sister.
Youngest, I have three sisters. Okay.
Wow, so we understand.
Oh
we,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like
we need something.
Yeah. So, but you know, I just wanted. I was happy just playing those sports, and I was a fairly big guy when I was in high school already. So, the teachers over there was like, well, let's put them to use, and let's use them for hockey and football and stuff. And I enjoyed every part of it. I mean, it was such a great experience.
Forgot the injury.
Yeah.
Do you think it was meant to be? Like if you did not have an injury, you would be in the NHL, or it was.
I'm pretty sure I would have kept going.
Really?
Yeah.
So this was a big, big injury.
Yeah, this was.
Because I think McDavid get the same thing the first year.
Yeah.
He went in the boom. He broke his.
Clavicle.
Remember?
Or something like that. Yeah. But it's. It was just that's pretty much what stopped it. I mean, after that, I continued to play football.
Yeah.
And it never bothered me.
Yeah. So why
after
you didn't?
That, but it was just. I felt I had more of a career in football than I did in hockey, just because of. The numbers I was putting up as a football player were better than in hockey. So
who was disappointed in your family about that?
It was definitely my father.
Oh, and a father.
Yeah. He wanted me to be a pro athlete so bad because
he was at 4 a.m. with a shitty Tim Horton coffee.
Well, Tim Horton was around back then.
It was a Dunkin' Donut.
That's right.
Watching you.
Yeah.
And you quit.
Well, after all this time, you know, like years and years and years, but it was just a decision within myself that I was like, I can't keep going like this.
No, man, I'm with your side. I just want to pump you because
it's fine.
If your father watched that, you know.
He's not going to be watching this.
Oh, but you don't know?
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know.
Okay.
My father's the type of person, he turns on the computer, all of a sudden the garage door opens. You know, like they're a little bit in the dark.
Okay, see, if you said to him, can you watch me and see on YouTube, you're gonna start the toaster.
That's right, something like that.
Know, like, where are you?
We're waiting for you to pop up.
Okay, okay. So, but the time changed when he saw. He's proud, I'm sure, when he saw you in movie or commercial.
I would hope so.
Okay, you don't know.
He's been very neutral, because don't forget, like I said before, it took me a very long time. It was always arguments of, well, you need to change your agent, you're not getting anything, do stuff like that. But I just said, well, I believe in my agent, and I believe in myself, and after a while, if you just keep at it, and you keep knocking at the door, well, eventually the door is going to open.
Exactly.
And that's what I did. So
with the good attitude, you know?
Yeah.
And you have the good attitude.
Yeah, but there was a lot of dark times too.
Oh, I know. And it's not done, huh?
No, it's not done. It's far from done. But
now you know it.
Now I know that what my capabilities are. And yeah. I just believe in myself. And I've been in so many bad situations that everything will always work out in the end. And sometimes it's difficult for me to see that aspect of it too. Where it's like, well, I just have to, and then I have to remember, I can't take things personally, and I can't assume anything, and
I
just have to keep doing my best.
Oh my God, is it that time for the coffee?
I think it's tea time.
Merci. So what did you order?
I ordered a double espresso, because I'm crazy like that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Merci. Look at that.
That is fantastic.
Is it great?
This is.
We have budget, Bobby.
We do have a budget.
And you look at that, the cookie.
Look at this.
Man, do you put sugar in it?
No sugar? I'm sweet enough.
Yeah. Oh. Do you say that to the girl?
No, I don't. I'm not seeing her again after that. That's the case.
but with the hockey, man, you have so many strange you can use with the hockey, with your past. With the acting, because acting is you're alone all the time. You know what I mean? And your agent, you talk about your agent like you should change it. You're still with the same.
Yeah, I'm still the same one. It's been 17 years.
Wow. Do you think it's the best thing you did?
Of course. I mean, we understand each other. It's like a family feel. And I don't want to be someone who goes against my family, so therefore.
Yeah, but so why your father?
Because my father is of the academic sense, we'll say. So for me to go into the arts world is very different from the world that a business that he came up in. Like,
he should go.
Yeah, but he's
sports.
Maybe, but at the same time, we're talking about business now. So when my dad got his job, got his degree, it was like, well, here's your degree, and this is the job you're going to get. When I got my degree as an actor, he thought, well, here are your roles for the rest of your life, and here they all are, and, you know, but it's not how it works. We have to keep knocking on doors, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
If I have my agent, who's very good at her job, and she's the buffer, you know, to get me into that door, then I'll take care of the rest.
Yes.
And if it doesn't happen, we move on. Or sorry, we move forward to the next one.
Yeah.
And that's how the business rolls. We just have to keep going.
Yeah.
I don't see myself doing anything else. I don't want to be sitting at an office all day, sitting, you know, taking photos. No. I work that job. I work that job doing customer service and technical support and all that.
Yeah.
And I'm too energetic and enthusiastic to be tied to a desk and at a computer all day.
No. You're bipolar, you're hyperactive.
Whatever.
Put everything you want.
But it's
impossible for us
to
sit 9 to 4 and listen the same music.
Or the same different stories.
No commercial for the next 30 seconds, no commercial, but it's a commercial now. Like, you know what I mean? And you have the light, the smell of the carpet.
Yeah.
And everybody hates the job, you know, I will pitch it by the fire, I would throw myself by the window, you know?
Yeah.
It's why we do this job.
That's right.
Because it's another stress, like another. A lot of people can do that.
No.
But for us, it's sécurisant. I always say that.
It feels like home. It's secure.
Yeah, exactly.
You're safe.
And exactly. So, 17 years, it's long.
Yeah.
And it's forever, I imagine.
I think so.
So, what did you say to her about what is your goal with her about the wall of. maybe commercial or TVC? Do you have a good? You said I would like to play in a big movie.
Well, we always set.
I want to make like 10 audition by month. You know.
Well, we have to be honest with the business too. So if there's nothing going on in the city, there's not much really we can do.
Okay.
Unless we get an audition for a self-tape. So for those of you watching, a self-tape is when you go to a neutral place and you get a reader and you get a camera and a microphone and you shoot the scene and then you send it to your agent and she'll send it off to either LA or Vancouver or Toronto, wherever it's shooting, just so that they can see you too. Because more often than not, you're not going to get it, but at least they know that, okay, we have this person out there that he might not be suitable for this role, but we can definitely put it for something else. And that's happened even to me when I've done auditions here in Montreal, is I'll go audition for a role.
You don't do commercial?
I do commercial. Okay. Yeah. But I'll audition for a role and then they'll say, okay, he didn't fit the role for that one, but we have another role in the same project that he'd be better for that. And I get the role for that. And it happened for a commercial too. I was doing a commercial for Far Cry 5. And I went in for one role and they said, no, we want you for that one. So I still got a role in the commercial. So
yes. It's are you nervous? Are you still nervous when you go there?
No, not anymore.
Not anymore, just, because
it's work now. It's not like it was before. It was like, oh, I'd be such a nice person coming. It's like, oh, hi, Steve. You know, it's so, but now it's like we come in, we got work
to
do.
So when you saw someone else get the gig and not you, are you jealous? Are you pissed off? Are you mad? Are you?
I was before.
Okay.
Because I knew that I felt that I got it. And sometimes the casting director will leave you with that false sense of hope.
Oh, I know. Every
that
time.
That was really great. Yeah. You were really good.
Yeah, good
man.
Luck.
And I was like, you know, they'll text me. Oh my God, we got it. You know, it's like you're going to hear from us. And then 3-4 days go by. It's like, what do you mean? So it's like they give you that false sense of hope.
Yeah.
But after a while, it's like, okay, well, this person got it. Then good for them. I'm going to get something else. I know that for me, whenever there's a cop role that is out, I'm definitely either going to get it or I'm going to audition for it. Because that's all the roles that I've got. When
okay.
I was on UDTNF, I played a police officer for 6 seasons. When I did being a Bad Hair Day, I was a police officer. All the roles that I got on Fatal Vows, I was a police officer.
Wow.
I did an international film, I was a police officer. So it's just, je m'assume. I know what my body type is.
Yeah. Wow. So, are you happy of that?
Mm-hmm.
So you not say, they always guess me.
No, that's fine.
Hockey, football, how old are you when?
I stopped, I was probably 22 when I stopped playing.
And when you realize you want to be in the world of comedy?
Oh, that was as of the age of 10.
You always knew, but at the time was not enough stage time.
Yeah, I was 10, so like.
No, I know, but no, this was there.
Yeah.
No, but 22, look. You never 22. do comedy before that.
Yeah, I started in 2002. I was doing...
So 2002 is like 17 years ago?
Yeah, so about the same time I had my agent, I had finished CGIP. I was doing open mic nights. I was doing the Comedy Works. I was doing the Comedy Nest.
Your first show ever is
at the Comedy Works.
So why... tell me the day. I love...
So the build-up to this was my buddy Paul and I... We were always doing voices with each other and impressions. So the sketch that I wrote was 5 minutes of...
Prepared.
So with my friend Paul, it was 5 minutes of an audition for Star Wars. And I would put all these actors, if they would audition for Star Wars and who they would, you know, play and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I had, you know, like Robert De Niro as...
No way.
Chewbacca or C-3PO. And
Did you get already this genius number?
Well, it was definitely from a sketch that I saw in Saturday Night Live, but I didn't do the same voices in the sketch, and it was just...
So you wrote that?
Yeah.
And you call or you send an email? I don't know.
We called back.
Did you went at the Comedy Works before that?
Never.
So you don't know the feeling?
No.
And you don't know anybody?
No, but I...
Who forced you, but who said you're funny, you should do comedy?
A lot of people.
But why at 22?
Well, it was just because it was time. It was time to start going to that avenue. So
and the,
I met.
Did
a
your
lot
agent?
Of
did your agent said that you it's a good idea?
My agent was fine with it. It's perfect.
No, they said yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, she said it was a good idea. Okay. Yeah. So that night I packed the Comedy Works
with all my friends.
Because I'm like, guys, this is the first time I've ever
used this.
So everybody who knew me was like, oh, we gotta go. We gotta see this. We gotta show some support. So I would go and do my thing. And then the comics afterwards, oh, Steve, you're gonna be on next week? I said, well, if I have you with you, because I'm new to this, right? So I don't know how it works.
I'm like, well, don't go too fast.
Yeah.
So how many people you bring there?
Oh, 50 at least.
Whoa, it's an 80 place.
Yeah.
So it's your night.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you are in the pacing?
I was third.
Third, not bad.
Third.
Who was hosting? Remember?
It was David Pride.
David Pride
was the host.
Okay, and what is the feeling like? Tell me all the day. I want to know when you're there. I want to know when you saw the first two. And I want to know the 30 seconds before you go on stage.
Yeah. So the whole day, I was a nervous wreck. I had anxiety. I was like, am I really going to do this? Am I really signing on to do this? And it was just, I barely ate anything throughout the day. And
okay.
I didn't go work out because I was like, oh, I don't know, you know, how to prepare myself.
Okay.
And then, you know, leading up to it, I was like, this can happen. Here we go.
And then. And you put pressure.
Because
you bring 50 people.
That's right. I put pressure on myself because I'm like, oh, man, if I'm going to bomb.
Oh, you bump for
I'm
real.
I'm going to do it in front of like a lot of people. I know me.
Yes.
And like, I'm going to get blacklisted.
Your parents is there?
No, my parents.
Oh, okay. So you're intelligent.
Yeah.
So you bring people, but not the family.
That's right. So I had all my friends there, and there were big name comics that are on the bill too. And I was like, oh, I hope I don't go on after him. I hope I don't go on after him. I'm going to die if I go on after him.
My God.
So it was an uphill battle. And then 30 seconds before, I felt a little bit confident because the two guys before me weren't that great. And I said to myself, okay, I'm not very knowledgeable in my abilities, but I'm pretty sure I'm funnier than these two guys. And
do you think the 50, your crowd did not laugh because they wait for you?
I'll never know.
Because when you went on stage, it was hysterical.
Yes.
And I'm sure you did not, c'était pas préparé à ça. You did not, you're not prepared about that.
No.
Because when he saw you ready for the next act, and he said your name, and you go on stage, you shit in your pants, but at the same time, all your fans clap.
That's right.
So what's happened?
So it was...
You remember?
Of course. I got on stage. I was like, okay, let's just do this. It's like a theater piece.
But people, they clap like,
of course,
too much.
Crazy.
Crazy. Like you're a superstar, man.
Yeah.
So, everybody said, who's that? What's happened?
So I had it filmed. I have it at home.
You're recording?
Yeah, I recorded it.
So this is one of something very important. You never do comedy, but you prepare your stuff, you practice, you bring people, and you record yourself. So this surprised me all the time. Inconsciously, you were born for that.
Yeah.
Because you made your own
subconsciously
work.
Subconsciously, you mean. So,
yeah, you made your own work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because nobody do that.
Yeah.
In general. Okay, so you record yourself. Did you rewatch yourself?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
And
don't go there right now. Sorry, it's my fault. So you're on stage. No, because me, it's gold for me.
Okay.
You're generous. So you're on stage. Do you remember the feeling? Talk on the mic with the spot.
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking because I was also told you have 5 minutes.
Yes.
And this is the light.
Yes.
And
the red light.
If you see the red light go on, it means you have a minute left.
Yes. You never saw the red light, huh?
Never. I had this experience before. I was like, you know, but I kept subconsciously being aware of it. I'm like, okay, I'm doing okay. People are laughing. And then the red light came on out, and I was in the middle of doing an impression that I was supposed to go much longer, and I just cut it short, and people laughed at that because it was a surprise, because I just stopped it short, and then we moved on to the next thing so that I could finish the set, because I had, I was doing an impression of Arnold Schwarzenegger as Luke Skywalker.
Can you do it?
But
do you remember?
Yeah, it was like, Bob Vedder says he's my father. That's impossible. I inseminated myself. Self-semination. Bob Vedder, I'm coming for you. You're going to be collateral damage. Your judgment day is now.
That woman.
So when I was...
So everybody was...
Yeah. And when I was rewatching this, I could hear, I could hear Mike Patterson in the background.
Whoa.
He was one of the guys, and I could hear him laughing, and that gave me confidence. When I watched it at home, I was like, because Mike Patterson's laughter is very particular.
Exactly.
So I could hear it over the impression.
Wait, is that a...
Because the camera was right next to where he was sitting in the back. So when he came on, I didn't film it, but when he came on, he says, you like to do voices and stuff like that. He says, oh, that's cool. You know, and he started to do one impression of something I can't really remember because I was too much in awe. Oh my God, Mike Patterson's in my name. But it was I was just awestruck that night.
Wow.
All these simple people, everybody, you know, everybody has their issues, everybody has their little thing, but they all come together at this place, and they're like, yeah, we're here to support each other. We're here
to
help one another get to that next level,
yes.
Whether it's a weekend gig,
yeah.
Whether it's a corporate gig, whether it's one day to be on Just for Laughs or go on tour or whatever it is, this is what it's about.
Yeah. So you get off stage, everybody... put you up, and you're the new Rudy of comedy. You know what I mean? Because it's your best night ever for a long time.
That's right.
Because you have a lot of deception. You know, you stop hockey, you stop football. You know,
yeah.
You just got an agent, but the phone don't ring.
That's right.
And now, for the first time, the attention you need, because you know we try everything. You got now. You said, okay, now it's for me.
Yeah.
So what's happened? Did you get drunk?
No, I didn't get drunk. I was always a designated driver. I still am today. So okay. I didn't overdo it.
So what was the next show after that?
The next one was at the Comedy Nest because Jimmo didn't want to put me on anymore. I did a couple shows at the Comedy Works.
Okay.
And he didn't like people that just did impressions.
Really?
So...
really?
I'd never been on the Comedy Works up until about 2017.
Really?
After the doors closed and it was someone else who took over.
He banned you because...
I just did impressions.
No way.
I wish I was...
Really?
I swear on my grandfather's dead bones.
Did you say to you, you do impression, you don't do impression? Because it's weird because they have improv.
Right.
Improv night all every week.
Right.
They do impression all the time.
That's pretty because it's the night for that. Maybe it's...
Oh, my God. Yeah, but comedy is comedy, no?
Comedy is comedy. You're right. But for him, for some reason...
Whoa.
He had that against me, and...
So this is 2002, your first show?
This is 2002. So
How long you play? 1 year?
No, maybe less. It was maybe about 3 months into it.
And 3 months, and you did well. People laugh.
Yeah.
And did he tell you?
No.
Or you asked?
No, he was never there.
Okay.
He was never there, but people would always give him a review at the end of the night.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Mike Patterson did this, and Rodney did this, and Steve just does voices.
Okay.
So he was like, I don't know what the conversation was, but he's like, we're not going to put him on anymore. So every time I would call...
To who? To Steven Levine?
I don't know who it was, but every time I would call it, because you would call and leave a message.
Yes.
And then they would call you back.
Yes.
They never
and it was Jumbo who answered at the time, I remember.
Yeah, and then...
So you're on fire, and 3 months later, they don't want to
anymore.
I was
just doing the Comedy Nest.
Really?
Yeah, the Comedy Nest was like, just do whatever you want.
Yeah, right? it's open mic.
Yeah.
Who cares? Jim Carrey starts with impression. Mm-hmm. Imagine if they said no.
Yeah.
So a big disappointment.
Yeah, so that kind of was a crushing blow.
For sure.
It was, I didn't know how to write comedy. I don't know anything about that or what a joke was or how to do timing and all that kind of stuff. So I would write some little stuff about myself and people would laugh, but I just got bored. I was just bored doing the same shtick over and over and over again, and I didn't know what else would be funny. So I just stopped. I stopped and I said, okay, this is not for me. And I did that for about 2 years.
So 2002
to 2004.
2004.
And
you did not try to write a 5-minute callback, say, hey, I don't do impression.
I was too naive and scared, I guess we'll say.
Okay,
What is this going to be? And now they're not going to laugh at me because my friends aren't coming to the shows anymore because they're like, well, we've seen this already, Steve. You know,
yeah.
We're not going to come if we're just going to see the same thing again. So I did it up until I was almost finished university. I did it until 2005 about, but I wasn't getting booked for anything, and so that's what it was. So I stopped, and what got me back in was 5 years later, 5 years, 2 years later, sorry, I was working at JFK High School, and the principal knew us and says, well, we're having a comedy night, and we want you to host it, and we'll have a bunch of professional comedians. So I said, okay. But I didn't know anything from a joke. I just
let him know. Did he know you were a comedian?
He knew that I did comedy in the past. He's a friend of the family. So I had little jokes here and there, and I had somebody help me write jokes. I'm not going to say his name, but I had a guy help me write jokes.
John Doe?
Yeah, John Doe, we'll say. And it went well, but it was the first time in 2 years I'd done stand-up, so it was a...
But you're the host.
Yeah, I'm the host.
So you're the punching bag, so...
That's right.
You're not the superstar, so you know that anyway. Yeah. So the,
but I brought everybody up, and whoever... I gave them all their credits and so on and so forth.
2007, you're back.
2007, yeah.
And you're back for how long?
It wasn't for very long. It was just for that one show.
Okay.
And then I would do it every year.
Okay.
I would either be on, I would be the opener,
okay,
and then have somebody else. Because it was, at the time, it was Silver Butler that was booking the comics at one point.
Okay.
For the school shows. So the school would call and say, hey, we need a bunch of comics. Okay, we'll send you these guys. And then they would put me on as the opener, or I would host when I had a little bit more material. So that was as of 2010, because I'd been at JFK for 4 years, so this was almost going to my last year. But as of 2010, I had started doing more and more comedy. I'd never weekend yet,
okay,
but 2010 was, I just finished Joey Elias's stand-up comedy class.
It's funny you say that, because who told me that? I think Amarez, I think. I think it's Amarez did the
class.
So did the class help you?
Absolutely, it helped me, because Joey gave us confidence that your comedy is your comedy. And because I do voices, he was very sympathetic towards me and said, well, this is your thing, Steve.
Exactly.
There's nobody here that's gonna be able to do this.
No.
So you have to find that way of incorporating, you know, voices. So when I would do the set, it wasn't just, okay, well, here's an impression just for the sake of doing an impression. It was, well, what if we had these celebrities playing curling or whatever it was? Because I had a bit about how I was upset because WWE Raw wasn't on because of the whole curling tournament that they would have every year. And I despise curling. So I was like, you know, what if we put, you know, the wrestlers in the thing where you have like, oh, brother, I'm gonna break a broom over your head, you know, like, and then you have to watch it. I was like, oh yeah, come on, bring it, you know, so stuff like that.
Yeah, so it was 10 weeks.
Yep.
And at the end,
so
you can do the show you write for the 10.
That's it. But the final exam, though, before you go on stage in front of everybody, was you and Joey Elias, and the rest of the room was empty. So he warned us before. He said,
"Oh,
we're gonna do your set. It's gonna be me, you, and the stage. And I promise you, nobody's gonna laugh." He says, "If you can make me laugh, that's pretty good."
Wow.
So we would do that, and then we had the final show in front of like a packed audience. And I think the proceeds went to the Joey Elias Foundation for Diabetes. So that was, you know, a great night.
So this is at the end of 2007.
This is at the end of 2010. Yeah,
and so now you're back.
Yeah, so now I'm back.
And now you have enough
material
structure. Yeah,
yeah, structure to sort of get
to build your stuff.
So,
do you know if he still does the course?
I think he does. Yeah, I met somebody recently who had just finished it, so I'm sure.
So exact. So guys, if you want to start comedy and you don't know how to do, Joey Elias.
Yeah.
Google. Let's see.
Yeah.
So now you're pumped.
Yeah. So
what's happened at the big night?
Well, the what big night?
Because like I said, you play in front of Joey Elias alone,
mm-hmm,
and after you play in front of a big crowd.
Yeah, and it went over very well.
Exactly. Was it the nest?
Yeah. I had a great feeling. It was great to
you're
be
back
on stage, but I was a lot more confident. I was a lot more comfortable.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I've been practicing this material for like 5 weeks now because I know that this is the stuff that's going to work, and this is the stuff that I've written with Joey's class, and we've practiced it so many times on the stage.
You know by heart.
Yeah, I knew it. Yeah, by heart. Just repetition, exactly. You know? Yeah. And what I also enjoyed was people were taking the class because they'd never done public speaking in their life. So they did it as a bucket list for themselves. They're like, well, I'm going to do a 10-week Joey Elias class. And I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this because I want to feel comfortable and confident speaking in front of, you know, people. So some people were there because they ran a business or they have to do public speaking and they're not used to it. So Joey Elias sort of helped them just bring a little bit of humor into the speech so that they could be a little more entertaining or they keep your attention when you're doing your presentation or whatever. So. He was able to help everybody out.
So do you know in 2010 who else still do comedy in your class? Do you know?
Are
you
who still does? Yeah. There's a couple people. I can name them, right?
Like, if you like them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Richard Mullen still does.
Richard Mullen, you have an open mic in West Island.
Yeah, there's Chantal Desjardins.
Chantal Desjardins is the host of guest. Yes,
she's on Breakfast Television.
She's doing a lot of sports snatch. Yeah. Okay.
Dan Laxer, who's on
Dan
CJ
Laxer, Baldy. Wow, big name.
Yeah. So
it's Chantal Desjardins. Dan Laxer's gonna come here.
Okay.
At Nobias with SB.
Yeah. Those are the only ones I really remember.
That they have a great career, and they, you know.
Yeah.
So it's it's fun.
Yeah. So, there's Patrick Hakim too. He lives out in Toronto.
Okay.
Now.
Yes, I know him.
Yeah.
So what's happened after that? What did you decide to go full time?
Yeah, so I really went full throttle with this, and I was doing the comedy desk because I still couldn't get on at the works. So
imagine
I was doing the comedy desk, and I was going twice a month to Ottawa to do either Yuck Yucks
or
Absolute. And I always had a better time at Absolute. It felt like I was going into another world, and everything that I would say on stage, it just worked, and everybody was so welcoming. And they would laugh at everything. It gave me so much
fun. Yeah.
And it was so worth the 2-hour drive there in the middle of the winter to get there. And at the time, I started seeing somebody. And I was building up to go to my Just for Laughs audition, which was in December of that year. And I said, okay, well, I'm confident enough that this material I'm going to do is going to work. So we get to the day that I'm going for the audition. We went to go see Jeff Dunham at the Bell Center prior to going to the audition. And she's being very distant with me. And I didn't really, you know, understand why. And so we watched the show, but I couldn't stay for the encore because I said, well, I have to go to my audition. And this is like a big, big thing for me. Yeah. They've sold out the Comedy Nest and I want to deliver.
Yeah.
So I show up there, and I keep peeking behind the curtain to see, well, you know, where is she?
Yeah. Oh, because she stayed there.
She said she was going to come and meet me at the
club. Really? And normally, a lady don't like comedy to stay there when you're a comedian and you have a big...
Yeah.
So she stayed there.
Yeah, she stayed.
Okay.
Because she wanted to see, you know, all the encore. I was like, okay, well, it's fine. The show, by the time I get on, you know, the show will be finished and she'll be there.
Okay.
So... I'm waiting, I'm sending her a text message. I'm like, well, where are you at? And she goes, I have a headache. I'm going to go home. Have fun tonight with your family and friends. By the way, it's not working between us. And the second I finished reading that, it was like out of a movie or something. I was like, ladies and gentlemen, your next comedian coming to the stage.
No.
I was like, you've got to be kidding. I was so overwhelmed and enraged. And I was like, oh, you mother... Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
What's happened, man?
The audition went terribly bad. I bombed really bad in front of everybody. My timing was off. I didn't feel comfortable on stage. And, you know, I remember getting off, and Tim Ravnitz was the guy. He's like, it's okay, Steve. It's okay. And then, you know, I had another
comic... You're lucky somebody talked to you.
I had another comic who was like... he's like, don't worry about it. They don't go based on the audience reaction. I'm like, there was no reaction. What do you want me to do? So it was terribly bad.
Ugh.
And then the next day, she had the audacity to call me. I'm like, you timed this.
Oh, no.
To end this on the biggest day of my career as a comic.
Yeah.
You think maybe we could have had a little bit of a warning or something like that, a couple of days, and not just be a text message, like a 15-year-old girl who doesn't know how to communicate?
Yeah,
you know?
And by the way, it was 2010, you said? And nobody texts at the time. No. It was not a formality text thing.
Yes, that's right.
So she, and so at the time, if you text,
yeah,
you said, oh, what's that? Yeah. Or receive something, you know?
Yeah.
So so it was a cheap shot.
It was a big cheap shot.
Especially, so she what she wants. She tried to know how if you did well.
Well, of course.
So did you say yeah
or whatever? I didn't say anything. It was okay. Just we spoke on the phone the next day.
No way.
Yeah, because she's like, I'll call you and oh now
she
you
want to go back with you?
No, she just wanted to go back with me. So which was fine.
Yeah. So what? Oh my God. So did you try to find another gig right away?
I don't remember how long afterwards, but I did continue doing comedy after that. It was just, we got to keep going. And I started working at another school, and
It's been nine years now, and it's still a fragile for you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, it's not fragile. It's just that that's what I remember from that day, because that was one of the poignant things that happened that day. Is like, I'm going to do the biggest thing I've ever done in my life, and now you're backing out. You're ditching me. At moments before I'm going on stage, it's like, what is going through your brain that think this is healthy?
No, I know.
For either of us. So, but I kept going. I started working at another school, being a student supervisor at the St. Laurent Adult Center. And I'd already been on the radio with Joey Elias at that point, because we did some fundraisers and stuff like that.
And you still you acting too.
But I didn't get any acting gigs. Still haven't gotten my first actor credit yet.
Okay.
I got my first actor credit in 2013. This is still 2010. So, yeah.
2013, your first acting credit?
Yeah, I got my engagement in 2002.
Yeah, so it's 11 years?
It was 11 years it took me to get me that first actor credit. It was on Being Human.
You did nothing between like a commercial.
Nothing.
It's why your father said that you should
change the agent. So, yeah.
But why 11 years you still stay with this person?
Because she believed in me. Wow. So
exactly.
I said, if you believe in me, that's all I need.
Yeah.
And then eventually I'll get to believe in me, and then we'll get to where we gotta go.
So no gig.
Yeah.
So but you focus on comedy.
Yeah.
You still don't go to the works.
Yep, still no work.
But
so
your yaks arrived in 2013.
Yes, but I didn't.
On the Rialto, Theater.
That was in 2013?
Yes.
It wasn't after? Because I never...
13, I remember. Okay.
Okay, well, in 2013, yes, I remember. I didn't.
It's because he opened only 3 months.
Yeah, yes, I remember that. But yeah. I didn't get the chance to go on during that 3 months. I went when it moved to the other location.
Mekai, 2015.
Yeah, I was there when it was there.
Okay.
And then when it was at Carina's above on Crescent Street.
This was just a guy. It was not the yuck.
But it had the yuck symbol.
Really?
On the stage. Yeah.
Oh, this is cheap shit. Yeah. This is bad.
Anyways. But in 2010 to 2011, I was doing the Comedy Nest. And I would be going to Ottawa twice a month to do a Pro-Am night and open mic night to get my exposure over there. And great experience, but... I still had stuff to work on, so it was like, because I wasn't really doing much here, because I was just doing one night a week, pretty much, of stand-up, and I didn't get, you know, the chance to really get the wheels turning.
Yeah, and the rhythm, you know?
Yeah, the rhythm. So then I would get booked for these corporate shows, and I would do okay, and then came the bullying from the...
You get bullying?
From the people that I looked up to.
Is it because you start to be good?
I think it was a bunch of things. I think it's just the way that...
Because why bullying somebody who sucks? You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe, you know?
Well, it was just because, like, for me, first I had to cut out doing comedy with other people so that I could start going on my own, because I was working with somebody else and we were sort of being advertised as a duo. And... I had to break away from that. I had to cut the toxicity out of my life, we'll say. So once I cut that and I started to surround myself with people that are more, okay, we're going in this direction, that we're going up. And then when those people started to put me down or, be mean towards me, I took it personally, because I was like, but I've been with you for so long and I've been...
So just to understand, it's like... It's like the guy was your mentor, mm-hmm. and he showed you everything, mm-hmm. and because you listen to him.
Yeah.
You did well.
Yeah.
You start to be mad because you did well.
Well, it's not just that. I stopped writing material. I was just doing the regular stuff that I do worked. The problem is you keep doing the same jokes over and over again. As Mike Tomtaroff would say, if it ain't new, you're through. So I had nothing fresh. There was nothing. It was always the same little 10 to 15 minute shtick that would sort of work, but I couldn't do that room again for a while, and I'd have to go do, you know, wait for him to do another corporate gig where they never saw me. So that's all part of the learning curve, and we have to keep going. I have to keep writing and be fresh.
So he motivates you to do that?
Yeah, but it was like getting spoken to from your dad. It's like it was sort of like being put down.
You give too much of your generosity.
Yes.
About can you help me?
Yeah.
And he took everything like if he's not there, you can exist.
Yeah.
Because you give that.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
So how did you stop that?
I just stopped doing comedy.
No way.
I've been used as a.
You could change because the city still is big.
Yeah, but I was so bothered by this.
Because it,
yeah, crushed.
Yeah.
That. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it anymore because it was like I got bored because I was doing the same. I'm still doing the same shit.
It's tough, man.
It is tough.
It's already tough. Go on stage. Focus on this. Just imagine the wolf around you.
Yeah.
Sucking your blood all the time, jealousy and envy.
Yeah.
Or did you pretend? Because you pretend this guy who was your friend.
Yeah.
He was not. He was using you for what? What was his purpose?
I don't know.
To manipulate you.
The thing was, is I wasn't doing stand-up for a little bit, and I needed to get stage time, and I couldn't do the nights that were offered at the comedy desk because my day job was I'm a personal trainer, and I'd have evening clients, and I couldn't move them because I had bills to pay. So.
Exactly.
It's like I can't. So
your day job is your
personal trainer.
Whoa, yeah. Not bad.
Yeah, it's peaks and valleys.
But what was the weekend or it was every day?
Well, this was the weeknights, but okay. I couldn't get on weekend gigs. I still haven't had a weekend gig. So, so the nights that I couldn't perform, there was another guy who was running a room, and he says, "Well, I can give you 15 minutes, and you can mess around." On stage with, I said, okay, perfect. So you're gonna give me 15 minutes to screw around.
Just is it before you quit?
No, it's before. Yes, before I quit.
Okay.
The guy that was my mentor came in and said, well, have I ever not paid you to do a set? And I said, well, what are you talking about? I mean, I'm doing this because I don't care if this guy's reputation is bad in the business or whatever. I need 15 minutes.
You need to practice.
Just practice my stuff, and this is the night that I can do.
And it has nothing to do with getting paid. He said to you, you need new stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah, so I said, well, with all due respect, I'd like to be, the people that I thought were going to book me are not booking me, so therefore, you know, and he's like, well, you're not getting booked anywhere, it's not a conspiracy, why are you going to go with this guy, he sucks, and then I didn't even answer, and we did speak for quite a bit, and there was a lot of tension.
2013.
This is all like, about that time, leading up to about last year, so.
Really?
Yeah, so this was recently, so this was 2017, end of 2017.
Okay, so because about 2013 to 17, what's happened?
I was just doing the open mic circuit, but okay. I was doing some corporate gigs for that time period.
So when you say you stopped 2 years, it's like 2017 from now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the bullying, the story you explained me.
Yeah, it was recent.
2017.
Yeah.
So 2017, because of all the bullshit.
Yeah.
You decided to quit.
I stopped.
And you did. You were great. You know now. I don't want to.
I know what you mean.
Hurt you more.
Yeah.
And because you're back anyway.
Yeah.
So I hope you will not stop again. You know.
No.
Because
this is not the goal.
So wasting talent.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Here's the thing.
You have so much talent. Yeah. You know. 2 years. It's a long time in comedy.
Yeah.
You know. So anyway, it's like I said. I don't want to.
No, but this is
so correct. 2017, you quit because you're tired of your
entourage, entourage, the, you know, the material that I was doing.
So when did you realize, oh my God, I'm not with good guys.
Yeah.
Who pretend they are good.
Yeah. But here's the thing. So in these 2 years, because you and I, we have a little something in common.
Oh.
In 2010, here's what I did. I said, this was after I finished the Joey Elias class. This was just before I auditioned for the Just for Laughs. In September 2010, I said, I have to prove that I'm worth being in this industry. So I bought a round trip ticket to Hollywood, $600 some odd, and my goal was to perform at the Comedy Store and the Laugh Factory. Comedy Store was a little bit easier because they did open mic nights two nights in a row, and yes, it's the Comedy Store.
Yes.
So I would show up there, and the procedure was you wrote your name down, and then they cut up the list, they put up the app, yeah, and then they pulled out 15 names. Yeah. If you weren't on that 15 names, well, you were welcome to watch the show for free.
Yeah.
And the show went on for hours. Like, you would have the open mic nights, then you have the friends and family of the Comedy Store, and then headliners would pop in to do 30 to 45 minute sets, and it was just like, oh my God, this is like, but the audience was the comedians that did not get on stage. So I told the guy at the entrance, I said, well, I'm from Montreal, and I'd love to do your room. How can I go about it? He says, okay, come back tomorrow. He says, the same thing you did, and if you don't get on the list again, just say, Dougie said it was okay, and they'll put you on at some point. So I said, okay, so that's what I did. I went back the next night. I had a friend who, I had one friend in Hollywood, and she knew somebody who worked on Bold and the Beautiful. So she was in a play with him, or he ran the theater that was there. Well, that night, she brought the entire cast that she knew of The Bold and the Beautiful to come see me do 3 minutes, because over here you get 5 to 7 minutes. In Hollywood, you get 3. So
it's nothing.
It's nothing. It really goes by like that. So, but that was her gift to me. It says, I'm going to get...
Wow. You know, so 2010.
This is in 2010.
Wow.
So, and then the following night, I still had to keep working because I had to get on at the Laugh Factory. And they said, you have to stand in line on the Tuesday to get on the next week. And I said, well, look, I'm from Montreal. I'm only here till Wednesday. What can I do? So he says, okay, show up. If something happens, I have your number. I'll give you a call back. So that day, I went to go eat a hot dog at a place called Pink's. It's a hot dog place. Okay. And I got the Today Show special. And it was two hot dogs with guacamole, this and that. And I'm wearing beige cargo pants.
No.
So I took a bite, and the guacamole landed right in my crotch.
No.
So I was like, okay,
no,
this is what it's going to be. So I'm not expected to go on stage. So I go to the Laugh Factory, and I'm waiting and pulling my t-shirt down so that I can cover myself. And then the guy called
me. How long did you wait online?
I was waiting. It was about maybe 5 p.m. in the afternoon when I got a call. And he said, there's a comic that can't make it tonight. He's sick. You're opening for Kevin Nealon from Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
I said, great. So I hailed a cab, and I took a cab from the club, because I was outside the club at the time. And we went to Koreatown, where I was at the Howard Johnson, and I said, wait here. I went up, I put on a pair of jeans, I ran back downstairs, I got in the cab. The cab cost me about $75 American, but this was, you know, for the big break, you know? So I did it, and I did my set. Kevin was sick, so I ended up opening for Don Marrera from Philadelphia.
Wow.
Which was a great experience as
well. Yeah.
And I did my set, and that was it. And I finished it, and I had posted on my social media, Facebook, that I did it. And everybody was, you know, so supportive and so warm.
Yeah.
I was getting phone calls and messages like, man, you really did it.
Yeah.
You really did it.
The Laugh Factory.
And, you know, and I have to say, Tom Tarab, you got to fight for what you want. So this is me fighting for what I want. Because if you put out to the universe what you want,
exactly,
the universe will find a way.
That. Oh, yeah, I believe in that.
It will find a way for you to realize this.
Yeah, I know.
So
I did it.
There you go. So we're in the same boat.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to go to the store now.
Yeah, but I did the Comedy Store already.
Okay.
But
you did the store.
Yeah.
And after you went, you go there.
The following night, I did.
Okay. So how was the store?
Store was a little bit of a tougher crowd. I was getting heckled. Because
no way,
in 3 minutes.
Wow.
There was a group of, we call them cholos in Los Angeles, the thugs that are Latino. They were in the front row, and every comic that went on, they would just yell or say something at them until somebody...
Did you yell at them with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, no, I just incorporated one of my jokes saying it, because I have my mom as a teacher, and they're like, oh, for real? How'd that feel, sir? How did that feel, Comptroller? Mom was a teacher. And I said, well, it feels a lot better than knowing she's also my sister. So why don't you and your sister go make another you and you're El Camino, you know? So
you're the cat's
and everybody was like, oh, I don't care, from Montreal. I got 3 minutes. Can we get the show on the road over here? Wow. I'm not going to screw around, you know? So, but that was it.
All the crowd responded.
They got a big pop out of that because it was like, you know, everybody knew who these people were, but I'm from Montreal. I don't know anybody. So I'm like, I don't care.
So dream come true.
Yeah.
So, because we are in 2017,
yeah,
and you get us back in 2010 about this great story.
Yeah.
Why?
Because that was some of the things I thought about.
Oh, jealousy for a long time ago.
It wasn't jealousy, but it was just, I had to get that little kid inside of me back that said, you enjoy making people laugh, and you have to keep doing this. And for 2 years, I was thankful that stuff was going on as an actor that I could... you know, that I could still live off of. But there was always that part of me that was like, there's no better feeling than being on stage, and whether you do well or you do poorly, it's still experience, and there's nothing that I've seen in my life that is going to take away from that, because it's a blessing. It really is. We are, as Steve Martin said in the opening of his book, he says, doing stand-up comedy alone on stage is the Eagles' last stand.
Yeah.
And you know right away, if you're not getting a reaction, you're not getting a laugh or a groan or something like that, you know, there's something, there's something you have to do, there's something you have to change in order to get that. And that comes from failing big and failing forward. So thankfully, I've met you again, and you're showing me rooms that I can fail forward, and I can do that.
Yeah.
It's going to stink. It's going to be like manure, but manure helps things grow. So that's what the process and I'm going through now.
Yeah, and I'm first.
Yes, so you always go first.
It's easy to say to someone, go there and bomb. And say, and you? Oh, no, me, I'm too hot. You know, you say, well, fuck you. But I'm first when I say that to you like that.
Yeah.
You have to kill your ego.
That's right.
Ego is important.
Absolutely.
But you have to use your ego properly, you know?
Right.
But so just to understand, 2017, not 2017. 2017, you quit, but I don't know when. You remember the guy, the 2010 guy, the Steve Nash 2010 guy, who was hustling, who was the sky's the limit, because you get écrasé, you know? Yeah. You say, why I listen to this kind of people who I did not know before? Mm-hmm. At the time, you didn't know this guy.
Yeah.
And was not the same entourage.
Right.
How this guy, you know, like, go alone with no guarantee, but just a vision, and believe in yourself, and have enough. We have one friend who bring you a lot of friends. You kill the 3 minutes at the store. You go there. You know why? Why? And you did Joey Elias. Yeah. You know this year it's the biggest year for you.
Yeah.
So why you quit in 2017? You know,
because
I know why. But is it you try to explain me why in 2019 you get back?
Yeah. So there's two years that I stopped. what I had to think back to those times in 2010.
Is it because of Facebook remind you? 2000, you know, their Facebook remind you the past year.
Well, there was,
and you saw
there past was a bunch of things.
The you at the store and you.
Yeah, there was a bunch of things. I mean, there's also there was Robbie Hoffman, who was also in my Joy Elias class, and she just won an Emmy award.
Years. Yes,
she won an Emmy award.
Oh, she's amazing, you know. Yeah.
But I remember Robbie when she started, and there was passion there. You could feel it, but there's a lot of kinks in the machine. But then as she started to go. As she started to go on and build and gain more confidence, she won an Emmy Award. So
everybody,
congratulations to you.
Everybody starts somewhere.
Absolutely.
Everybody, nobody starts funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the job.
That's
the business.
That's it.
And you need the passion. And you need the cool. You know, I know it's the past. But if you, anyway, what you will change if you have the chance to go back, you know, in 2010. You know what I mean? Because you are so on fire, man.
Yeah. It's just to keep going. It's I have to just roll with the punches, and I have enough experience now, especially through acting, that it's not always going to work out in my favor. That I just have to keep going, and I have to keep remembering that first time when I got that first role on Being Human, that was 11 years.
Okay, continue. Hustling. I just want to be sure. And, we just passed the 1 hour, and yeah. We're still live.
Yeah. So
yes,
it was sorry, just that. Sorry. It's okay. It was just that feeling of, man, it took me 11 years to finally get this, and so it's gonna be a comedy.
And you never quit.
I never quit.
So why is it? Because you have a really bad entourage. You quit.
It was just
it's easy to say it's too tough for me, and at the same time I get bullying.
Yeah, so there was bullying. It was my ego too that said,
okay,
you know, the ego in the head said, well, you're doing the same stuff all the time.
Yeah, who cares? This is I prefer a guy like you who have a killer 15.
Yeah.
Than the guy who said I have 1 hour, but you don't have a killer 5. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So,
yeah. But you know what I mean?
I understand completely. Yeah.
So
it was all that, and it was just me being insecure and all that stuff because of the bullying, because of all that. But I would still go to the gym, and I would feel better by myself, mm-hmm. and I would push heavier weights. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, I have to own my body too. I have to be comfortable in my skin. And I'm like, okay. So all these people, they're just going to run their mouth. Well, you're just going to run your mouth. And
exactly.
Do you remember when you said? About.
What's happened with me?
I had seen friends of mine starting to succeed, getting booked on stuff like that. Okay. And I said, well, if they can do it, then I can do it. And then I thought back as a little kid when I was 10 years old, I says, well, Bill Cosby and Jim Carrey and Eddie Murphy and all that can do it, then I can do it.
And so you
it
just did, about and then believing 10,010 did. Yeah. Steve Nash of 2010.
Yeah, so now I was just hustling, going back to that.
So when? Do you remember when? Was it January, February this year?
Yeah, it was about. It was maybe somebody about 2 months said, ago. Somebody, 2 months, 2 months ago?
Did somebody say, why you quit? Why you don't do comedy anymore?
It was just. It was just a couple months ago. It was just like, I have to get back at this. And
why? Why?
I'm not gonna let other people put me down, and I'm not gonna let people who, who have been in the business for a long time show their insecure self and let it wear me down. When it's just like, I'm going this direction.
Exactly.
And you don't have to come with me. That's fine.
You don't need to. Yeah.
You know. And it's like
you're not invited.
That's right. It's like you said the other night. You said you have your own comedy,
yeah.
And people will follow you
exactly.
Because
they love
they love the person on stage, and and I think I'm more as generous and as humble as I can be,
yeah.
That I'm just going to keep going with that, and then long term it's like I want to make donations to corporations and the hospital and all that, and you know, make people feel good about themselves,
yeah.
Because that's what I'm about. That's
why
that's why I went into the fitness business as well, because I always wanted to help people get their goals, to feel comfortable in their own skin. So when somebody says, you know, I've been training you for so long and I've lost all this weight, it's like, well, right? Hey,
buy me 2 tickets.
But I gave that to you.
Yeah.
I brought you to the mountain. You have to climb it.
Exactly.
So that's why we're doing a mic night, because that's my
exactly.
That's my mountain, and I have to climb it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was there when you restart, Bob.
That's right. You were the last 2 shows.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep going, man. We'll keep.
Man, it's so easy to discourage others.
Of course.
But it's
easy because it's the easiest way.
Yeah, yeah, because you're an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
Not you. Okay. The guy who do that, it's easy to say, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Every time I saw someone who said, I try, I said, good luck. And he asked me a question, I said, you're there.
Yeah.
You don't have a passage secret. Yeah. How do you say passage secret?
There's no secret passage.
No secret passage and no in comedy.
Yeah.
It's go on stage, bomb, practice, exactly. practice, no matter what.
Yeah.
And trust me, when you're gonna be funny, people will tell you,
absolutely.
And they're gonna book you and gonna pay you.
That's right.
Until that, stop complaining.
Yeah.
Stop be jealous. You know.
Yeah, of course.
Do your homework, because people want to be there. They don't want to work.
That's right. They want the reward without the work.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's very tough.
Yeah, of course it's very
because
tough.
Because you play hockey, you play football.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It's physically and mentally taxing.
But good comedy.
It's mentally taxing.
But physically too. Look, my shape. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. It's not physical like the pain. But good luck.
It takes a toll on the ego. On your morale.
You don't quit
no
anymore.
We never give up.
Say that to your fans, okay?
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. Yes.
Keep never give up is right here.
Exactly. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then I wore this T-shirt.
What
for
tough you, times don't last.
Some people do. So.
So what is your goal? Short goal, medium goal, and big goal now.
Well, right now it's just to get a solid 15-minute set.
Okay.
I'm doing a fundraiser next week, so I get to, you know, test it out there, and then just keep going and just keep doing the open mic nights and so on and so forth, more so than what I was doing before.
Back on track,
and to not let these little hiccups that would happen affect me.
Exactly.
Because now it's make it or break it time for me.
It's another Steve.
That's it.
You don't need
I just cut out the negativity.
Exactly.
I'm all about going forward.
So many good people in this industry, trust me.
Absolutely.
So he's just focused on that. And the medium goal, you want to do an audition next year just for laugh?
You know, we'll see where I'm at that point.
Okay, because I think if you are selling like you start to do now, I think you're going to have a great 10 minutes to, because it's 6-7.
Yeah, 6-7, I think.
And what is your ultimate goal? What is the big one? Were you one-man show? You want to do it just for laugh?
Definitely one-man show.
You want to go back to L.A.?
All that, you know all that is good, but I mean, it's just I love being a personal trainer, don't get me wrong, but I want to be an actor and stand up full time. That's been the ultimate goal, and I'm not getting any younger, and as much as I do enjoy being a personal trainer, don't get me wrong, I love all the clients that I have. Yeah. My company that I work for, they know that, you know, I have to take certain, I can't take a full load of clients because I have to take time away so that I can do stand-up comedy, I can do the acting.
Yes.
Like just because you told me these other nights, I've made it a goal that the evening clients that I have, well, I'll reduce those so that I can have the time to go to like Renoy and, you know,
McLean Pub
and McKibben's and
you never play here, eh? The Peroni, because we are the Peroni, by the way, thanks Peroni to invite us. Is your beautiful restaurant. It's every week, every weekend of our comedy night.
Yeah, so.
This Friday, Saturday, you should come.
Yeah, absolutely.
Say hello to Ali and Sid.
Yes.
No?
Who I know them well, too.
Oh, yeah, they saw you. Yeah.
I remember Ali was always saying to mutual friends of mine, Steve's got to get back into comedy. If you have to talk to Steve, tell him to come back into comedy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm back.
Yeah, and forever.
Yeah.
No matter what's happened.
That's right.
Because I think you deserve to give you a chance.
Yeah,
because I don't think you get enough far to know your potential.
That's right.
Because me, I know you have everything to succeed in comedy.
Thank you.
No, I'm serious. Because if I was an agent, I will have Amarez. You know Amarez,
the gentleman,
the host,
yeah, the
at the Grenouille.
Yeah,
I just interviewed him last week.
Okay,
you watch the video. This guy is an hustler. And you are too. You're gonna focus. You have everything to succeed. You
absolutely
know what I mean? And
right
now you should call your agent and say, you know what? I love to be a cop, but I think I can be funny in Boy Martino commercial, you know?
Well, I did a Kijiji commercial.
Oh, yeah?
You see it online.
I have a
base. I have no idea
is
what
it is. 3 years ago?
It was, yeah,
three years ago.
Yeah, 3 years
like
ago.
The stuff moved. Yeah. You're there.
That's me.
Wow.
So, you know, I had to outshine. So, and it was, when the director saw me, he saw me right away. He's like, you're right for this, but we just have to go through procedure, call back and stuff like that. But I think you're going to be happy with the outcome. And that was my first commercial where I was the forefront. And my Facebook exploded. I was like, oh my God, I've known you for so long. I didn't know you did this. It was just all those little things for those 2 years from 2017 to 2019. It's like, but I can do this.
Yeah.
I have to stop being so hard on myself.
Yes.
Just go out and do it. And whatever, let the chips fall where they may.
And listen, you're a trainer of gym.
Yeah.
You should know. It's the
motivation.
Same thing than the comedy.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people ask to you, oh wow, I see all you, oh, I get abs. And they are serious?
Yeah, they are serious.
Written, but you say you have to do abs, let's see.
Well, it's not only that.
No, I mean, you know what I mean? It's, you know, say, how to be good on comedy?
You have to do reps. You have to get
go on stage, just see. Yes, but I don't want this answer. Do you have another one?
No, there's
like,
no.
Like, you have a magic pill, no, you know? No. You know what I mean?
There's no elevator. You have to take the stairs.
Exactly. If you want abs, you have to do abs. It's, yeah. You know, you have to gym. You have to go there. You have to eat well. Yeah. You know what I mean? Same thing with comedy.
Yep.
But people don't want that. You don't want a shortcut. You know, where's the shortcut? Yeah. No shortcut.
There's no shortcut.
And if you cheat when it's time to the big show, good luck.
Yeah.
You know? So no matter where you think you are, like, because when we restart or we quit, we feel like shit, you know? But no, take that for experience. Remember that.
Yes.
Because to quit, it's more tough than restart. Like for the ego, for the I am too pumped to explain that. But what I mean is, no matter if you give up or not, if you restart, you're back.
Yeah.
And people are scared to do that.
Yeah.
Because the ego said,
of course,
you quit. You quit. You lost so many times. So that it's too late for you. It's never too late.
Nope.
It's never too late. And how old are you?
36.
So you have enough experience, and you know the industry.
Yeah.
It's a small world.
Yeah.
You know, when you start, it's a big one, but for you know everybody.
Yeah.
You know, okay, this guy suck. This guy, don't talk to him, you know. You know now where to go.
Yeah,
so just focus on that, you know, and soon you're going to bring all your fans. You're going to book a big theater, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're going to be sold out. This is the goal. Yeah. I think you should
Definitely focus on that. I mean, just to say, like, you know, I saw my buddy Sugar Sammy the other night.
I was there.
We
did a show with him.
But it was just so great to see him, and how, for us, it was such a tough room, and it was such work, and he came on and just owned it.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's where I want to be. And
exactly.
That's where, you know, but he was always supportive of me, and I was always supportive of him. And even when he got off stage, there was Will DelVecchio who was there, and he's like, I never thought that I'd be opening for you. And he said to him, he's like, well, you align yourself with people like Steve and Sebastian. They're good people, and we all go in the same direction.
Exactly.
You know, but, and that was great to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, and it's for you, it's fun, because you're back already in the market, the small market of Montreal, but you have a market.
Yeah.
You play with me, you play with Sugar Sammy, you work with Sid.
Yeah.
You are in the good place already.
That's right. Because that's what I wanted to do coming back, is like, if I'm going to do this, I have to do this the right way.
Yes.
And I have to align myself with the right people this time. So that way, I can feel confident that, okay, I'm on the right track here.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not going to deviate to what I used to do before where it got me nowhere. So now it's like, okay, no, we sacrifice X amount per day or one day a week or whatever. Because Jerry Seinfeld said in his thing, if I can just sacrifice 5 minutes a week, 5 minutes a week to just do what I love to do, this craft, because even us as comedians, it's tough to write. It's tough to... you know, find something and then think, well, is this going to be funny? But you have somebody like Jerry Seinfeld who says, just give yourself five minutes a week to just sit down and do what you love and then go do something else. But at least you can say, I've checked it off and I've done it.
So what is your plan for 2019? Now it's July. We are in July because it's going to be later.
Yeah.
What is your ultimate goal from now, for the rest of the 2019 year?
Just to do weekend gigs, because I've never done a weekend gig since I was a stand-up comic. So it'd be nice to be on a rotation for the club scene to be doing.
Are you at the Grenouille tonight?
I'm gonna be there tonight.
Whoa, boom!
Well, I'm not on, but we'll see if I can get on.
Oh, okay, so you're gonna be there.
I'll be there anyway.
So this is another trick, guys. Okay, if you don't have a gig, go there, chill.
Yeah.
And maybe if somebody will not be there, and you're gonna have the opportunity to get the spot.
So
you know?
That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm gonna go check it out.
Okay.
But in the meantime, I study my art. So I'm looking at professional comedians on YouTube at least once or twice throughout the day to just see how they work their timing and how they tell a story.
Yeah.
Because I was never able to tell a story. It was just, you know, scenario, impression, scenario, impression, maybe one or two one-liners, and that was it.
I mean, don't be scared.
I'm not scared.
About your impression, because it's great, man.
It is.
Okay?
But I just...
I know you have, the past.
Yeah.
When you talk, I feel the past. I would not do too much of... No. Focus on what you have now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to find other impressions.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
Because if you like to do impression, by the way, it's not you who decide comedy. It's comedy who decide who you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could try to do a dark joke. It's not for me.
Right.
The personality arrive on stage.
That's,
you know,
right.
The more you're going to do comedy, more you're going to be able to. You have so many funny stories anyway.
Yeah.
Don't tell me you don't have funny story about the gym.
No, of course.
You know, how many stupid people tell you.
That's right.
You know, about how to do that or... And take your struggles to explain this. Me, it's like I use that.
Yeah.
You know, all the struggle you have, and you don't have funny story about the acting.
Oh, I do. I mean,
you know, about the audition. You know.
Of course, I have stories. It'd be very funny. About the gym. It's just a matter of putting it on stage now, and this is what we're doing
exactly.
Now.
Exactly.
So.
Wow, man! Thank you so much.
But my
before
pleasure,
you
Steve.
Go, I have the question.
Okay.
You have to be honest.
Okay.
Okay. Do you think the Expo are back?
I think we will definitely be seeing them. I don't know when exactly. There was big talk today that the owner of the Tampa Bay Rays said he would like to have a split season.
Yeah, 41 game
with the Expos. I think there's a lot of passion in the city about this, and we have the people.
Oh yeah,
who will invest in
serious people
to make a stadium at the Peel Basin?
Stefan Brofman and all the
yeah. So,
are you a fan of baseball? Did you?
I was. I was towards the end. Growing up as a kid, I didn't have the attention span to watch baseball.
But you
were
there.
Yeah, it was only when I was in CDEP and I saw, I think, every Expos game the last two seasons, because it was like, this is fun now. We get to, you know, but it was just the teams that the Expos would play against. We're just frustrated. I didn't want to see the Phillies. I didn't want to see the Braves. I wanted to see like the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays.
This is going to be in the same division now.
Yeah. So now it'll be a little more exciting, and it'll be better for the city too, because you'll have people coming in from Toronto. You have people from Boston. You have people from New York that will come into town and put asses in the seats. And whether you're a fan of baseball, of the Expos, or the Yankees, or whoever it is, at least there's going to be people there, and they're going to be able to witness this, and we won't have this issue anymore, because we'll have even a great location that we can put a stadium. And
my God, you know better that than me, man.
Well, it's all about location, and it's about, you know, setting
the timing.
We're in the city of Montreal, so we have the Canadians who are always going to be a dynasty. They're always going to be, you know, the ones that, well, Maurice, you know, he was my idol growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, next to Wayne Gretzky, it was Maurice Richard.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have the city for it. So it's just, we need the people, and then maybe eventually we may even get a basketball team. Who knows?
Who knows?
It's
just getting big. And you know what?
We have the city for it.
This act still sells a lot.
Yeah.
After 15 years, you know. And on July 6th, the National going to have the Expo.
The Expo's jersey. Wow.
Imagine.
Wow.
Look, this is high grade who made this ad.
Wow.
Why? You know how much it costs to have the logo on the high grade and make ads like that? Something happened, you know?
Yeah.
You don't do this for nothing, you know?
Yeah.
I think all the stars are there to...
The stars are aligned, yes.
Exactly.
I think it's just a matter of time and when we're going to see this, so...
So maybe next time, me and you, beer, hot dog?
And an Expos game.
Merci beaucoup, mon ami.
Avec plaisir.
You have everything to succeed, okay? Believe in yourself, man. You're amazing. You're a great human being, and you're a funny guy.
Thank
you. So, man.
Appreciate it.
No, man, let's go eat, Bobby.
All right.
So hungry, Bobby.